If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation. I'm reading from the 22nd chapter. We're coming to the conclusion of the canon of Scripture. 1,600 years of God speaking to man, starting with Moses, the kings, the prophets, the apostles, John the Revelator writes verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. What a statement. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Worship him just a moment, will you? Gomba sutra kapilebobete. Hallelujah. Praise thy name. When we could not come to where you are, you came to me. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And the Spirit and the bride saith, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I want to use for a subject tonight, taken from the first portion of the 17th verse, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, as we minister, we do so in Jesus' name. This frail clay. We ask, as Charles Greenaway preached this afternoon, anoint us one more time, that we may lift up Jesus, the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. I would ask that you would anoint these people to hear, to grasp, and to receive of thy word. Help us to say nothing that you would not want said, to do no violence to thy word, but only what you want to bring to our minds, that which we have not formally or previously contemplated. For thy glory we ask it, that we decrease and you increase. And everyone said, in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Every preacher has an introduction for his message, and I want to use an introduction tonight that I've never used before in my life. Thomas, could you come, please? Charlie, could you go back to the organ, please? Would you grab a telephone? Would you grab a microphone, Thomas? Hallelujah to God. You think you can sing it with me? He doesn't even know what I'm going to sing. You think these things are planned. I think it's obvious they aren't. Charlie, you know, I don't know what key it's going to be in. We're just going to sing and you're going to pick it up. Hallelujah to God. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Glory to God, hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. John was the last of the apostles. At about 100 years of age, when he closed out the canon of Scripture, he uttered the words that you and I are starting to pray more and more. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. As he stood there that day and closed out the book of Revelation, I would like to have locked into his mind for just a few moments. It had been a long, long time since Galilee. He had been a young man then when Jesus uttered those words that he would never forget. Follow me. For 1,000 sunrises and sunsets he had been with the Master. The blinded eyes had been opened, the lame legs had been made to walk. The dumb had been made to talk. The dead had been raised. Never man spake like this man. And now Peter is gone, and James is gone, Andrew is gone, Nathaniel is gone, all are gone except John. And he says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The passage that I read to you tonight has been taken from time immemorial to speak of salvation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. However, Jesus said in the 12th verse of the same chapter, 22, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Certainly the passage where the Spirit and the bride say, come, is speaking of salvation. But it has even a greater, more rewarding, fulfilling meaning to it than salvation. It really speaks of the coming, the imminent return of Jesus Christ back to this planet. It speaks of a thirst, of a cry, of a deep urge for him to return, to right the wrongs, to heal the wounded, to set the captive free. And in this passage, the thing that is so thrilling about it, it records the only prayer ever prayed by the Holy Spirit that we know of. I want you to think of that. The Spirit and the bride say, come. All the way from Genesis to the conclusion of Revelation, there is no record that the Spirit ever prayed a single prayer except here. But when you think of God the Holy Ghost that started praying 2,000 years ago, come, Lord Jesus, you can be sure as the church, the bride, joins their crescendo, their prayer with his prayer, Jesus is coming back. Now, I want to emphasize that. It said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. We know the Spirit is today praying, come. The Word of God tells us, the Spirit saith, come. In certain parts of this world, the church is saying, come as well. In the Soviet Union, I watched them fall on my neck and weep tears, saying, I pray that he comes quickly. In China, while I was there, the Chinese Christians are praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm not so sure about the church in the western part of our civilization. I want to say that again. Much of the church today is praying, come Lord Jesus, because of persecution, because of hardship. But I'm concerned that the church, too much in western civilization, is praying for Cadillacs and Mercedes and money and bank accounts. When John closed out the book by telling the church to pray, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Is that your prayer tonight? Is that your prayer tonight? Do you really want him to come? In 1970, I remember it so vividly because of what the Lord spoke to my heart. I had been awakened, I believe, by the Holy Spirit. And I had gotten up to pray. And Francis was asleep by my side. I left out of the room and went outside to where I generally recorded our tapes. Radio. We were on radio then, not on television. And I started to pray. I started to seek God. I had sensed an urgency of the Spirit because I had sat on the side of the bed for a few moments, sensing the Spirit of God greatly, and I was sobbing, weeping. I didn't know what the Lord wanted, but I could sense that, and I did this often, but I could sense this was special. And as I began to, I went into the room. Normally I would flick on the light, but I didn't do it that night. I just started slowly pacing back and forth on the floor seeking God, and I sensed a tremendously heavy flow of the Spirit. And God began to speak to me, and as his presence filled my heart, it doesn't happen like this often, but it did that night. I sensed his presence to such an extent that it is one of the few times in my life, I believe, if God's presence had been one more mite powerful, I would have died. The human body could not have stood it. I was standing near the wall with my face to the wall, and I slumped down on my knees, still with my face to the wall, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. The Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to, let me see how to phrase this, what he told me. I want you to place the radio program on every station in the world that you can place it on as quickly as possible. He was to later tell me the same thing about television. I remember trembling because as the Spirit of God dealt with me, he said, at the pace that you are going, you cannot get done what must be done before I come. You must do it quickly. He said in the Crusades, set aside one service for my children to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I will fill thousands with my Spirit. You will see as many as 1,000. And the other day in Pittsburgh, he told me, you will see as many as 10,000 baptized in the Holy Ghost in one service. You obey me, I am pouring out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Some will try to tell you not to do it, but you do it. Some will try to say that they will not accept it over television, but do it. And you proceed with what I've told you to do. And I said, Lord, and I ask a question that you do not ask. It is not even proper to ask it because you already know the answer to it. But I knew if I wasn't hearing from God and I did what I was being told, I would wreck the ministry. I said, Lord, when are you coming? You said you are coming soon and I must hurry. I must not delay. I must do it. And when are you coming? I've never asked a question that I was more fearful of an answer. For I knew that if I received an answer, as far as a date was concerned, that I was not hearing from God. I was trembling, I was shaking. I knew it was God, but I had to know even more. And he said, you ask me when I'm coming? And I'll never forget that moment. I thought my heart would stop. I actually thought it was pounding out of my breast. I thought it would stop. He said, I will answer you thusly. I have told the Spirit to hurry. As I am telling you to hurry with my work, I have told the Spirit, hurry. Since that time, 1970, I believe every preacher in this place will say the same thing. There seems to be an urgency about the Spirit of God that I've never seen before. There seems to be a haste about the Holy Spirit. More people are being saved today, more people filled with the Holy Ghost than the world has ever known before, than the church has ever known before. It's like the Holy Ghost is hurrying because the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Holy Spirit, the church, and the coming. The Spirit, the harvest, and the rapture. I want to make some statements here. The people in the church today that believe in the rapture are the people that are accomplishing world evangelization. And note the significance of what I've said. The people that believe in the rapture. What are you talking about, Brother Swag? We all believe in the rapture. No, there are millions of Christians that don't believe there is a rapture. There are millions that do not believe that the rapture is about to take place. Usher, help me, please. There are millions of Christians that think we're living in the millennium, or else things are going to get better and better and better and better. But mark my word, look at me. You've seen a baby before, look at me. The people today that are evangelizing the world, that are taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth, are those that believe in the imminent, soon return of Jesus Christ. The people that do not believe in the rapture of the church, they are engaged in little or no world evangelization. They are making no efforts to take this gospel to the far corners of the earth. And if they do, it's a spurious gospel at best. But those that believe that Jesus will come at any moment, there is an urgency, there is a haste about the effort to tell others about Jesus. Why was the Apostle Paul and the apostles of old able to evangelize the civilized world of that day without the aid of television, the printing press, radio, or anything else of that nature? They didn't have modern transportation. They had nothing that we have today. But they were able to reach almost the entire civilized world. I'll tell you what it was. You say it was the Holy Spirit. Certainly it was. But it was because they believed that Jesus was coming back at any moment. And they must get the message out. They must tell the whole world. They must tell every man, woman, boy, and girl, get ready, get saved, because he's coming back. You say, well, Paul was mistaken. No, he was not mistaken in believing that. The Lord didn't tell us when he was coming. He told us to occupy until he did come. Occupy until he did come. At about the turn of the century, world missions started to gain speed as it never had before. Missionaries started to go out from England, and then gradually from the United States. As the Spirit of God started to deal with them, under great hardships they went. They started to realize that to take this gospel to the furthest corners of the planet, to go into those that are bound by the worst types of sin, we have got to have more than liturgical ritual. Now listen to me, we've got to have more. We've got to have more than just salvation. We've got to have power. That is the very reason for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost at the turn of the century. Men and women started to cry to God. They started to plead to God to give them power, that they could take this gospel where it was impossible to take it. That they could go into the midst of those that were bound by the powers of darkness. And to their pleadings and their cryings, God sent the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. And he started baptizing men and women,
And I want you to hear me today. He didn't give us the Holy Ghost to just speak in some foreign language and lay hands on somebody. He didn't give us the Holy Ghost to just give a word of knowledge or to perform some little religious shibboleth in a back room somewhere and to trade gifts of the Spirit. But he gave us this power that we may take it to the ends of the earth to set the captive free in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? And if the Pentecostal movements, if we miss the true purpose and reason for the Holy Ghost, he will take it from us. And I'm going to throw in this little tidbit. The most powerful Christian television network in the world has just been taken from the Pentecostals and given to the Baptists. Now don't say amen. I'm sick about it. Because it was misused. It was abused. Are you listening to me? Flim-flam artists, shake-down artists, con men under the name of Jesus and the name of God prostituted the gospel with little more than becoming spiritual pimps. I want to say something. The Pentecostal message is the greatest message. It is the Bible message. There is no other message. God told me the other day, he said, you go across this nation and you find godly pastors that are not on television, but they believe in the Bible. They walk holy. They live true. But the world doesn't know them. The world knows too many flakes. The world knows too many con artists. The world knows too many quick draw artists. The world knows too many con men that go under the guise of the Pentecostal experience, but do not know Jesus. He said, you put godly men on your television program that have the Holy Ghost and believe in holiness and walk true and walk pure and walk holy before God. The Spirit and the bride saith, come. That is the message. The Spirit and the bride didn't say name it and claim it. Get angry at me if you want to. You say, well, you're meddling in my business. This is my business. I'm called to do it. The Spirit and the bride didn't say but one thing, and that's come, Lord Jesus. They say what? Possibility thinking. They say power of positive thinking. What does the Spirit and the bride say? Come. Come, 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 come. The Pentecostal church today is on the razor edge of losing what God has given us. You hear me? Because we are taking the Holy Spirit, placing him in a position that he will not abide in. He is given to us for many, many things, but primarily to take this gospel to the whole world. In Africa, where Charles Greenaway was for only the Lord knows how many years, some denominational leaders asked one of my very good friends, they said, your missionaries are having fantastic success. Thousands are getting saved, and they are. I was just in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, in Africa, building churches fast as we can build them. Africa's experiencing revival in spite of demons and witch doctors and hell. It's experiencing a moving of the Holy Ghost. They said, we want to go in and do it. He said, great. So they got about 6 or 7 psychologists. Sent them in. They really did. I'm not jesting or joking with you. Sent them in. Hit those witch doctors. I mean, when you talk about a witch doctor, you're not talking about some woman that's on the edge of a nervous breakdown for 40 years. You're talking about somebody that can levitate a human body in midair by the powers of the devil. You're talking about somebody that can wring a chicken's neck, and somebody over there 50 miles away will start struggling and gasping for breath. Powers of darkness. You're talking about powers of hell. And they tried their psychology on them, and a couple of those witch doctors like to have killed them. Give me my briefcase over there, will you please? Thank you. They went in like this with their briefcase. They hit them with their psychology. I mean, the powers of hell. They went out like this. They got on the plane and said, goodbye, Africa. I'm telling you, it takes more than 4 years in college. It takes more than a seminary degree. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Spirit and the bride say, come. That's what he comes into our heart for. Not, come here a second, will you please? The Lord shows me you've got 4 $1 bills in your pocket. And let's see, your name starts with a mlum, 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 mlum. Let me see. D, D, D. I've got it. D, 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 D. You've got a pain in your lower esophagus, bacobalus. It's there right now. Spirit shows me. Thank you. That's a lot of baloney. That's a lot of baloney. Yes, I believe in the Spirit of God showing preachers of the gospel or anyone else words of knowledge. But not to empty your pocketbook. You hear what I just told you? We have prostituted the Spirit. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. I can tell I upset 4 or 5 of you then. You have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the church, the bride, the harvest, the coming, that's the rapture. Secondly, let him that heareth say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. The other day I was standing in the town that I was born and raised in front of my aunt's home. She's now with Jesus. She was here when we dedicated this church. She was one of the godliest women I ever knew. I had visited her, and it may have been for the last time. If I remember correctly, it was. We had gotten on our knees and prayed. She was, I think, in her 80s then. And I sensed God's presence. I remember it vividly. My dad was there. Francis was there. And she'd pray at drop of a hat. She was my grandmother's sister. And if you went to her house, you prayed before you left. She'd say, let's pray. We dropped on our knees, and she was doing something, and she was about 10 seconds later, and when I heard her start praying, the Spirit of God flowed. We walked outside a little later, and I was standing there. She had not come out yet. And I was looking across the street, and she walked out and stood beside me and said, do you remember that house? And I was looking and thinking, and I think she was thinking this. I know she was, the same thing I was. I said, yes. It was 1944. I was 9 years old. When I was 8 years old, 9 years old, 10, 11, 12, 13, etc., I went to a prayer meeting every day. Now that's totally abnormal for a kid. I went to prayer meeting every day. A prayer meeting. Prayer meetings today aren't what prayer meetings used to be. Now you sing and sing-alongs and hoop-alongs and jump-alongs, and we prayed. That's all we did, is pray. I would be there. My grandmother would be there. My Aunt Renee that I just mentioned would be there. And we would pray. It was every day. And I can remember it. I was praying today, and I was thinking about it. I was 9 years old. I didn't know what sin was. Full of the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues more than I spoke English. I'm serious. I did. I spoke in tongues far more than I spoke English. I don't mean while praying. I meant all the time. I was a kid. It was an experience that I cannot relate. I don't have the vocabulary to tell you about it. I don't know how to tell you. I would run to go to the prayer meetings. Now that's not normal. The problem is, it is normal. And the way you act ain't normal. I remember my dad wasn't too happy about it. He had not received the Holy Ghost. My mother had not received the Holy Spirit. My grandmother had, and I would go up every day, and he didn't like it. He thought she was crazy. It was his mother. He thought she was out of her mind because she did like I did. She spoke in tongues all the time. She was filled with the Holy Spirit in a Church of God camp meeting, and she had that little Church of God jerk. She never lost it. Whenever she would get touched with it, she'd do that. Every time she'd do that. She never was loud, just do that. And I knew it was coming when she'd do that. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And I would go up, and she would tell me how Jesus filled her with the Spirit, and she'd get to that spot and do that. Well, my mother and dad received the Holy Ghost a little later, and they thought she was normal now. And I would go up every day. We would have prayer meeting. There would be a presence of God. And one morning, I still see the little tiny room. It was a little small living room. There was a couch up against the wall, like on this side. There was a chair over there, another one here, another one there. I don't remember any kind of coffee table or anything, but I was kneeling down beside the couch. We were praying. And someone started to speak with other tongues. And I don't remember who interpreted it. I just don't know. But there the Lord spoke that morning in 1900 and, when was it? 44. And said, "You will preach in Africa. You will preach in Japan." I thought about it later because I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to be a missionary so bad. But the Spirit didn't say you will go and be a missionary. It said you will preach in Japan. You will preach in Africa, and reeled off country after country after country after country. I was 9 years old. I didn't understand it, but I never forgot it. The others there, my grandmother, I don't know who else was there, my aunt, they didn't understand it either. They believed it. But I look back now, the Spirit chose His words perfectly. Exactly. I heard it. He that heareth, say, come. Glory to God. I'm going to finish it in just a moment. He that heareth, say, come. If you are spiritually alert, if you have spiritual discernment, you are going to hear the Spirit say, come. You are not going to hear dominion teaching. You are not going to hear a lot of foolishness that's making the rounds today. If you hear, the Bible said it, he that heareth, say, come. Come, 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 come. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Do you hear it today? When you pray, do you hear the Spirit saying, come? He's coming. He's coming. That's what I hear. That's what I hear the Spirit say. And it coincides with the book. It coincides with the Word. If your preacher's preaching something else, you're not hearing right. Find a preacher that's preaching the book and be careful what you hear. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, say, come. Glory to God. I want that to sink in. I want you to get it. I want you by television to get it. You listening to me? If you're hearing anything else, you're hearing the devil. You're hearing a false prophet. You're hearing evil. It may look like God, sound like God, speak in tongues and have what purports to be gifts of the Spirit. But if it doesn't say, come, it's wrong. It's not of God. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. If you are hearing God, he's saying, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If you're hearing the Lord, you're hearing him say, corruption's about to put on incorruption. Mortality's about to put on immortality. Say, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. I'm not here to convince you. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm just here to tell you. The book says, come. He that heareth, say, come. Some of you listen to me. When I was a kid, in our church, as I've just mentioned, we heard one of four sermons. Jesus saves, Jesus heals. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is coming again. That's it. That's what we heard. And I would sit there and tremble, and that preacher would get up there and preach. And he'd open his Bible. When he started to preach on the coming of the Lord, I could almost see him coming. I could almost hear trumpets. I could feel it. Today, many Assembly of God churches hadn't heard a message on the rapture in a month of Sundays. Many Church of God churches hadn't heard a message on the rapture. Preachers preach it. Preach it that Jesus is coming. Preach it that he's soon to burst the skies asunder. He that heareth, say, come. That's the reason we're going all over the world. The Lord told me to tell the countries of the world. Time magazine reported that 70% of the people in Central and South America is watching the telecast. An Atlanta Journal reporter, a Time reporter, I forget which it was. Atlanta Journal reporter was in El Salvador, San Salvador, the capital city. He asked our veteran missionary, John Wayne, over there. He said, is it really true? Do they watch the telecast? He said, I don't know. Let's go see. Well, he didn't know, but he said, let's go see. Said, it's time for it to come on. 10 minutes. He said, which way you want to go? They got in the car. He said, drive down that street. Said, stop. Every house they went into had the program turned on. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus saves. Jesus fills with the Holy Ghost. Jesus heals. Jesus is coming. Thank God. God, listen to me, reporters. The largest television network in the world is not ABC, CBS, or NBC, or CNN, but the largest network in the world is a Jesus network that tells that Jesus is coming again. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He that heareth, say, come. He that heareth, say, come. He that heareth, say, come.
Do you know the reason that we're imploring you in our magazine? Pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us. Please pray for us. I've never in my life experience the pressures of darkness that we are experiencing now. No, I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm just trying to get a little point across. I've never, never in my life experienced it. I'm going to tell you some things I've never told anyone. Demon spirits of hell. There are times at night that I can actually hear them screaming, you can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot do it. There are times I actually hear them buzzing like hornets as they try to tear my emotions apart. In Costa Rica the other day, the powers of darkness
I don't think I've ever sensed them so strongly. That night, Saturday night, I had a dream. I dreamed I was standing in a swamp, water up to my waist, and it was brackish and dirty and filthy. And I was trying to make headway in it and get out of it. And it was like my legs were lead weights, and the muck pulled my feet down, and then I saw it coming. That was the most awful-looking serpent, a snake. I've never seen anything like it. It was about a foot wide, with a high ridge down the back, and the sides of it went out like wings. It may be a serpent like that in the world, but I've never seen one. Its head was standing up, and it was like it was flying across the water, coming straight at me. And I saw it coming, the most evil, wicked thing in the dream. And there was nothing I could do. I tried to get away, but I couldn't. And it happened so fast. And in my spirit, I couldn't even pray. It was so fast, I couldn't even say, "Jesus, help me." I couldn't even say, "In the name of Jesus." It was that fast. Straight at me. Closer and closer. And all of a sudden, down inside of me, I was praying, but I don't even remember what I was saying in the dream. But that thing, it was like it hit a wall. Straight at me, and it was like a clear plastic bubble that you could see straight through. You couldn't see it with the eye, but it was there, and it hit that thing and bounced off. And then turned back and tried it again and hit it again. And I'm looking at it, and it bounced off. We went to service that Sunday. How many people were there in the crusade in Costa Rica? 60,000, that 60, 70,000. Stadium seated about 30. Infield was full. Everything was full. And that spirit came against us. Oh, it came against us. I've never felt the powers of hell in the intermediate part of that service. I took the pulpit, started to preach. I was choking to death. 70,000 people said, and all of a sudden, the serpent hit the wall and bounced back. And when you hear it, when you see it over television in a few weeks, you're going to see 70,000 Costa Ricans, whether they're saved or not, shouting, "Cristo vive! Cristo vive! He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! Gracias, Cristo! Glory to God!" What are you telling me? I'm telling the devil, I'm telling demons, I'm telling hell, trot out the biggest you've got. By the grace of God, we're going to make it. And we're going to fill this earth with the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that heareth, say, "Come." He that heareth, say, "Come." He that heareth, say, "Come." I mean, I'm making a declaration right here. If God has to send Michael and Gabriel, now don't misunderstand, the Holy Ghost doesn't need any help. He that is within us is greater than he that is within the world. He's greater than every demon. He's greater than every power of hell. He's greater. If I offended you, I'm not sorry. We're talking about the Super Bowl. No, not that little old pigskin pipsqueak thing. We're talking about the real Super Bowl. Glory to God. God told me, he said, you tell the people everywhere you go, many of them are hungry. I mean literally hungry. I don't mean hungry for God. They are hungry for God, but they're hungry in their belly. They don't have anything to eat. Dave Ola King, Mozambique. Fix this microphone tomorrow. People, what are you pointing at? No, this one's full of the Holy Ghost. It may have a little problem, but it's full of the Holy Ghost. They're having to go to church, the men at one time, the women at another time, because they don't have any clothes. No, I don't mean they don't look nice. I mean they can't even cover their nakedness. How many were baptized in water the Sunday you were the 1,700? 1,700 in one service baptized in water came to Jesus. I meant they're hurting. I've been to too many places, held too many little babies in my arms. I've had a lot of people to make fun of it that were dying. Starvation. Most of this world is in trouble. I mean, it's hurting. It's not getting better, folk. I've been to too many places. It's not getting better. He said, you tell them. And I meant he told me this emphatically. You tell them. Don't look to America. Don't look to money. Hold on. I'm coming. Tell them. He that heareth, say, come. Let him that is athirst say, come. Listen now. Malachi 4:2. I can quote it, but I want to read it. It's something like turning the pages. And it gives it a little authenticity. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And let me tell you what that means. Let me tell you what it means. Malachi was prophesying of the coming of the Lord. He didn't know it. He didn't understand it, but that's what he was doing. The word wings there in the Hebrew. And Brother McMahon appears, Dr. McMahon is a Hebrew scholar. I think he'll verify what I say. Healing in his wings. The word wings also can be translated rays, R-A-Y-S, with healing in his rays. Okay, what do you mean by that? That's probably the way it ought to have been translated from the Hebrew to the King James. Healing in his rays. Shall the Son of Righteousness arise, come with healing in his rays. Rays are like beams. See. You old timers will know what I'm talking about. You young ones probably won't. But there is a term that says the horns of the morning. The horns of the morning. It means it's that grayish area right between dark and daylight. Just before the sun comes up. Before it burst up over the horizon. I was standing in Olivet the other day. John was about to sing Jerusalem. The sun had not yet come up. And when it, just before it was to burst over Olivet, the horns of the morning cast a glow over Jerusalem. It's the rays from the sun. Shall the sun, S-U-S-O-N, shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his rays? Those rays come, dispelling the darkness, and you know at any moment, the sun's going to burst up. He said, with healing in his rays. In the last four decades, the world has experienced healing revival. Hear me? Healing revival. R.W. Schambach has probably prayed personally for several millions of people. I don't think I'm exaggerating. In 40 years of praying for the sick, that's one man. Gail Jackson stretched his tent here in Baton Rouge and in New Orleans when it was nothing but Catholic. There were no Pentecostals. Healing revivals. I was there. Healing. Standing right up there at the very top on September the 6th, 1986, Saturday night. Check it on your calendar. I think it'll prove to be Saturday night. I was praying for the Sunday service the next day. The Spirit of God started to move all over me, right over there. And as I walked, God began to speak to my heart. When I got about right there where the lady is sitting with the blue dress on at the furthest back, God told me, do not believe me for millions, believe me for tens of millions. I am going to save tens of millions of people. And I'm going to save them in the hardest parts of the world. I'm going to save them in Eastern Europe. I'm going to save them in Buddhist countries. I'm going to save them where it is impossible, because I am a God of the impossible. When I got right there, he said, I am going to send a greater healing revival than I have ever sent in all the history of mankind. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised. My name shall be glorified. I didn't ask for it. When I got right there, I was sobbing. I said, God, we don't have any preachers today. We've got talk show hosts. We've got singers. But God, where are the Holy Ghost preachers? And I happened to look down. Don Brankle was kneeling there sobbing and praying. He said, I'm going to raise up preachers. I'm going to raise them up all over this nation and around the world. I'm going to fill them with my Holy Ghost. They're going to preach my word. Might and in power. Shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing and his rays. We can see the horns of the morning right now. You can see it everywhere around the world. If you don't see it, you're not hearing what the Spirit is saying. It means the sun's about to burst up. He's coming. He's coming.